All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Penn State has an important game tonight against Indiana, 7 o'clock at the Jordan Center. Every game is important from here on out. Penn State played a really good first half over the weekend against Purdue at the Palestra in Philadelphia, led by 6 at the half, and then Purdue came out and destroyed Penn State in the second half. That Zach Edey, 7'4", 295 pounds, he is so skilled around the basket. I mean, he could just back his way in, and all Purdue's got to do is just work the ball into him, and he's literally right there. You know, I don't know what kind of NBA player he'll be because he doesn't really have any kind of perimeter game. But in terms of college, when you're 7'4", 295 pounds, and you're going up against a lot of little guys that Penn State has, that was a total mismatch in the second half. But Penn State's got a game tonight against Indiana that, quite frankly, it has to win. They're 2-3 in the Big Ten. They go to Wisconsin next. You drop this game, you're in danger of going to 2-5 in the Big Ten. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now joins me to talk about the game. What's up, Joe? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Corey. How are you?
Hey, look, we've all been in agreement. Anybody that watches Penn State play, they pass the eye test of being an NCAA tournament team. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
But if you don't start winning games like tonight against Indiana, you're not going to the NCAA tournament. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that as well.
Okay, so in a game like this, to bounce back from that, what does Penn State have to do? What problems does Indiana pose? This is a home game. You know, it's a midweek game. We talk about this all the time, Joe. Midweek games in State College, Pennsylvania, in the Big Ten in January, you're not going to get 12 or 14,000 people out there, so the atmosphere is not going to be phenomenal. So what does Penn State have to do tonight?
Yeah, so I don't know if Penn State's catching Indiana at the right time or the wrong time. On the one hand, you can look at it and say, well, they've lost 2 straight. They lost to an Iowa team that Penn State beat and handled pretty well for the most part. And they lost to Northwestern at home. So those 2 losses dropped Indiana from a top 15 team to a team that's out of the top 25. So maybe you can make the argument that Penn State's catching Indiana at a good time, but at the same time, you know, Mike Woodson's a pretty good coach. He's been around a lot. A team like Indiana, that with the talent that Indiana has, doesn't really stay too down for long. So you could say Penn State's catching it at the wrong time as well. I think the key to the game is going to be how Penn State does in the post and limiting Indiana's post players, especially Trace Jackson Davis. He's 6'9". Penn State's has faced 2 pretty good post players in the past 2 games. You mentioned Zach Edey, and then before that, Michigan's Hunter Dickinson. So I think the biggest question with this Penn State team from a talent standpoint has been how it is in the post. The guard play has been very good. We know that. But Penn State's inside game has been a question mark all year, and if Indiana can exploit that, then that's going to be a problem.
I think you bring up a great point with Indiana losing 2 in a row. I think it's a terrible time to be facing them because now they're more of a desperate team, okay? When you have good players and you're highly thought of, and as Indiana kind of was supposed to be anyway, when you lose 2, I don't want to run into that team. Just like when if Penn State loses a couple in a row, you know, you don't want to run into. There are certain kinds of teams that you know are going to bounce back and are going to be very, very difficult. And I think Indiana is going to be one of those tonight. Now, Joe wrote a good column this week on Jalen Pickett. Let's get into this a little bit, Joe, because Jalen Pickett is an outstanding player. 26 points against Purdue. Can do a whole lot of things. And I want to pick your brain about the pressure that Micah Shrewsbury is under for the next 2 months with Jalen Pickett. You wrote a line here. It says Penn State doesn't get players like Pickett often. And that is true. And so if you're going to get to the NCAA tournament, look, we're all praising Micah Shrewsbury. Micah Shrewsbury's done a really good job. But if he can't get to the NCAA tournament with Jalen Pickett, can he get to the NCAA tournament at all? Because, I mean, this is the caliber of player of a Lamar Stevens, of a Tony Carr, of a Tim Frazier, of a Taylor Battle. These rare breeds that come along at Penn State, how much pressure is there for the next month and a half to maximize what this guy can do?
Yeah, that's a good question, Corey. On the one hand, you can look at it and say Shrewsbury inherited a program in a rebuild, and last year I think overall went very well, considering Shrewsbury lost a lot of guys and had to basically build a team from scratch, and they did a pretty good job. Went 14-17, which probably would have been a 500 season if Penn State didn't have a few cupcake non-conference games canceled due to COVID-19. But you can look at that and say it's only year two. As long as there's progress, then that's encouraging. But at the same time, as you mentioned, Jalen Pickett's not going to be there next year, and you don't know if you're going to have somebody to fill the void that Jalen Pickett's leaving after this season. He's a guy that he's one of the best players in college basketball. I think he's a surefire Big Ten Player of the Year candidate. And as I said in the column, and as you reiterated moments ago, Penn State doesn't get guys like that. So if Penn State ends up failing to make the NCAA tournament, and you think about it and say, okay, these guys started off hot, they got the ball very well, they did all these good things, they improved so much, but still couldn't get there, and they did all that, and now they're losing Jalen Pickett, that's when I could definitely see why people would be encouraged by an improved record and a winning record, but also wondering when Penn State's going to get a guy like Pickett again, and when Penn State's going to take advantage of a big opportunity to make the NCAA tournament and make a run. Because this season is a big opportunity for Penn State to make some noise.
Yeah, there's no doubt. This is an NCAA. Not only is it an NCAA tournament team, I watch a lot of teams from all around the country. If Penn State gets in, it can win a couple of games. I mean, this is a Sweet 16 caliber team with one asterisk. And that's if they're hitting their shots. They hit shots in the first half against Purdue. They were terrible in the second half against Purdue. What happens with this team? I mean, I know Purdue upped the intensity. You could tell coming out of halftime, Purdue just was playing at a higher level. However, for the first 5 minutes of the second half when Purdue took over that game, Penn State had a bunch of 10 and 12 and 15-foot jumpers. It's not like they were just missing a whole bunch of threes. They had good looks and just didn't make them. What do you make of, quite frankly, just falling apart in the most important part of that game?
Yeah, I think that's pretty concerning, Corey, because we all agree that this team is a lot better than last year's team. But at the same time, going back to some games Penn State lost last year, the game it lost to Purdue definitely felt like one of those games. The team came out in front of a hot crowd, played very well in the first half, but then completely fell apart in the last 20 minutes. And it's been a big storyline all season. I think the Michigan State game at home, the Big Ten opener, was a great example of it. I think the games Penn State lost to Clemson and Virginia Tech in non-conference play, more great examples, is Penn State's got to close out. And until Penn State starts, it would have been a lot to expect Penn State to beat Purdue, right? But at the same time, there's got to be a game where Penn State is in a pressure-packed situation, plays well at the beginning, and is able to keep that up all the way. I don't even think, going back to a game Penn State won, when Penn State beat Iowa, it was an ugly second half against Iowa, and Penn State almost blew a pretty big lead, and that would have been a very bad loss for Penn State. So I think not completing games has been a pretty big theme for Penn State this season in games it's lost and even in some games it's won. So, but about the Purdue game, which you mentioned, it felt like a game from last season, and that's something Penn State wants to erase.
Okay. Let's talk about the present and future of Penn State basketball based on what we know about the past of Penn State basketball. Micah Shrewsbury is a good coach. You can tell he's a good coach. But this is Penn State. They don't make NCAA tournaments. They don't get calls from officials. Every Penn State coach ever has bitched about how they don't get calls. Well, you don't get calls because you're not a power program and you've never been a power program and you don't win the games. And so, to me, what's interesting, what will be interesting to watch with Micah Shrewsbury is how much he wants to put up with this stuff. Because he is a good coach. And say he gets the NCAA tournament this year, everybody's going to come wanting the guy. And could Penn State up his salary to $3.5 million, $4 million? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. It just kind of gets to the point of concern for me, Joe, of, hey, what do you expect? I mean, if you're at Purdue, which Micah was, are you watching the game film against Penn State thinking, well, yeah, Penn State doesn't get any calls. You see what I'm getting at? It's pretty obvious. I mean, if you're ever looking, when he was at Purdue, he was looking through it through the Purdue lens. Hey, why aren't we getting this car, that car, that car, that car? But if he goes back and watches game film, which he should go back and watch Purdue-Penn State game film from 5, 6, 8, 10 years ago. Penn State never got those calls either. Maybe Micah didn't notice it because it benefited his team. But when you're at Penn State and you don't get these calls, I would imagine it's got to be unbelievably frustrating because you know you deserve to get a call every now and then, and you know why you're not getting a call because you're not a blue blood and you've kind of been a nothing program for 50 years, but that doesn't make it any easier for the current coach to be able to deal with it.
No, and you mentioned past coaches. Pat Chambers had a pretty big rant after, I think it was a Michigan State game, maybe about 8 years ago, about kind of the same thing that Micah talked about after the Purdue game. It has to be very frustrating, and Micah has talked about officials before. I think after the Minnesota loss in Minneapolis last year, he went on Penn State's postgame show with Steve Jones and Dick Girardi and made, frankly, pretty similar comments to the ones he made Sunday after the Purdue game, only it wasn't broadcasted in front of as many people. But it's definitely something that would frustrate a coach. I think Shrewsbury is probably – he definitely understands why it happens, right? And he mentioned that in his postgame rant.
He does
said,
he?
I understand that
I'm
a young coach.
I think he understands, but until you're in the position – you probably don't understand how badly Penn State gets screwed at times. Because, again, when he was on Matt Painter's staff at Purdue, he didn't give a damn if Penn State got screwed over.
No, not at all.
And nobody else cares if Penn State gets screwed. So that's look, he does understand. There's no question. But is he going to get any sympathy from anybody? No, he's really not.
No. Not at all. And I think a lot of people can kind of see that and just dismiss it as sour grapes, too. So I don't know what the main perception is of people who saw that quote, but I definitely think there's multiple ways to look at it. And it's definitely it's not a pattern that he wants to get into too much, is complaining about officials after games.
I agree.
After a while, you know, it becomes...
Look,
so.
It's a bad look. There are a lot of things in play. He is right. There was more physical play. I didn't go to the game. I was watching on TV. There was one non-call on a collision under the court. I think it was the second half. Robbie Hummel and whoever was doing the play-by-play both called it out. I mean, there was a no-call. Two dudes just absolutely collided. And there's no call. It was a charge. It should have been a charge, but they called nothing and play just continued. And Robbie Hummel's calling this out. And that's the kind of thing that Micah's talking about. The officiating in the Big Ten is bad. And Micah is right in saying it. But does anybody, do people want to hear this very often? I think Penn State fans probably do because it gives them a rallying cry of the world is against us, the Big Ten is against us. But at the same time, I watch college basketball all over the country. If you're not a program that has ever achieved anything, you know what's going to happen? You ain't getting any damn calls. And I mean, that's true in every conference.
Yeah, and Boston College isn't going to get the calls that Duke gets. You know, South Carolina's not going to get the calls that Kentucky gets, even though South Carolina beat Kentucky. It's how it is in really every sport, college football, same type of deal. It's just something that Micah has to deal with as he tries to build this program to one that will be getting more respect and will be getting those types of decisions in the future. So,
Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports. Now, it does have to be frustrating, and I can empathize because watching the games, I mean, this has just been – I've been here for 25 years. Penn State's just never gotten these calls, and I would imagine, you know, I would imagine it's got to be frustrating. When you're working your butt off 20 hours a day to try to earn some respect and you feel like you're not getting it, that's got to be a very, very difficult thing. So that gets me back to the discussion about this year, taking advantage of Jalen Pickett, winning games like tonight. If you lose games like tonight, we have to start revisiting our notion that this is an NCAA tournament team. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. And I think if Penn State loses tonight, the chances at Wisconsin definitely aren't looking too good.
But they would be desperate, and they Wisconsin's not the kind of team, even though the Kohl Center is a difficult place to win, they're not the kind of team that can just out-athletic Penn State. Penn State can hang with most teams if they're not just getting hammered from an athleticism standpoint. So, look, I'm not saying it's a lost cause, but when you're 2-3 in the Big Ten and you've got a team like Indiana that's reeling a little bit, you got to take advantage of this game. All right, I want to get your thoughts on the rest of this team. We talked a lot about Jalen Pickett. I think there are good pieces in place on this team. Seth Lundy, Andrew Funk. When these guys are hitting shots, they're very, very dangerous. How good could this Penn State team be, in your opinion? Do you think they could actually reach a Sweet 16 if they're hitting shots and they get the right matchups?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the NCAA tournament's a crapshoot, right? You know, the teams come in, you're not expecting a lot of them. They win one, two, maybe three games, and then teams that you expect a lot of get bounced in the first round. So I think Penn State is a team that has an obvious strength, and that's making three-pointers. And when you're shooting, you can't be stopped at times if you're doing it well. And a good example was I was watching Saturday, Duquesne played Richmond. Duquesne took 8 three-pointers and made all of them. They were 8 for 8 in threes for a stretch, and they opened up a 22-point lead on Richmond. But then they stopped shooting, and Richmond ended up coming back and winning that basketball game. So I think Penn State's a boom or bust type of team to where if they're not shooting the ball well, it could get ugly because I don't know what the fallback is.
Is there a plan B? Yeah, there's not a plan B because they don't have an inside game. So that's challenging, is it not?
Absolutely. And the guy who's probably their most prominent inside presence, Kevin Jai, is still someone that he's still a project, right? They're still developing him. He's not someone that you necessarily want to be in a big role right away. So it's a boom or bust type team. I could see it being a team that misses out or a team that wins a few games in the tournament. There's a lot of ways that this thing can go, and that's because Penn State has an obvious strength, but the balance of elite college basketball teams, I don't think it's there yet.
I want to switch gears and ask you real quick about the national championship game between TCU and Georgia. I wrote about this. I talked about it for almost an hour yesterday. I just cannot believe TCU beat Michigan. It's not the most shocking upset in the history of sports. It's not. But in all things being equal, the Michigan team we saw embarrass Penn State and the Michigan team we saw embarrass Ohio State, I just cannot wrap my mind around how they lost to a TCU team that, quite frankly, I think is the 12th or 14th best team in the country.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out how Ohio State almost and probably should have beat Georgia and been in that title game. Yeah, Michigan has a lot to answer for, I think. I think TCU was a good team, but that's all it was, a good team. It's not a team it kind of reminded me of, I don't want to say reminded because I was only 4 years old, but looking at how TCU got to the title game and looking at how Ohio State got to the title game in 2002 with Jim Tressel, it's pretty similar. There were two teams that won a lot of close games, and TCU came in to their title game against a Georgia team that a lot of people thought was a lot better than it. And Ohio State kind of had the same thing going against Miami in 2002. Obviously, the big difference was that Ohio State pulled up a massive upset and TCU lost 65-7. So, it's just I think TCU deserved to be there, but Michigan has a lot to answer for because it's hard to defend losing a game you were favored to win to a team that ended up losing 65-7. So
the latest odds I saw actually favor Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL. There's better odds on him going to the NFL than there are him coming back to Michigan. That's pretty close, but still, what do you think happens, Harbaugh? You think he's back at Michigan or not?
No.
Interesting. How come?
But I would have said no last year, too, so we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you there. I thought he was leaving after last year.
Yeah, but I think the fact that the Colts job has opened up is a pretty big game changer because he's a big name in Indianapolis, right? Almost got him to a Super Bowl in 1995 at the expense of the Steelers. But Yeah, I think it's an inevitability with Jim Harbaugh. I think his stock is pretty high right now, making two straight playoff games, beating Ohio State 2 years in a row. And I think there's that thought in the back of Harbaugh's brain that, okay, if I couldn't win the national championship this year, yeah, going undefeated, getting what you'd think was a favorable matchup against TCU, when am I going to get there? So I think he's going to go to the NFL eventually, and I think especially with whatever's going to happen with this NCAA stuff that's coming out on Michigan, I think now would be a pretty convenient time because Michigan's not going to win the Big Ten championship every year, no matter who's the coach, and Harbaugh might not have a lot more chances to end the season as the reigning Big Ten champion. And now that he is the reigning Big Ten champion, has only lost 3 games in 2 years with Michigan, his stock's high, his old team has a job opening, I think the time is right, and I think he goes. I thought he was going to go last year.
I'm with you on all that, and I'll just say this. I'll give you about 30 seconds to respond. If you're a football coach and you love football and you want to do football and football's your thing and you just want to do football, I would hate being a college football coach right now because football, actual football, is 20% of your job. You're recruiting and selling your soul and everything to 16 and 17-year-old kids. Now you've got to recruit the 100 guys on your roster every single day as well. Now you got to find out about the transfer portal. I would think that if you just love football and you just want to do football, like a Harbaugh, like a Bill O'Brien, I mean, that's not what college football is anymore. College football is 20% football and 80% salesman.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. When you're a college football coach, you're the head coach, you're the GM, you're the scouting director, you're pretty much everything. The program is yours, whereas in the NFL, you got a GM ahead of you, you got an owner, you have a lot more to work with. And being a college football head coach is definitely a world of stress, and especially now with the transfer portal, NIL, all that stuff that you mentioned. So,
hey, appreciate the time, buddy. Enjoy the basketball game tonight, man.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports. Now.